Hello, welcome back to Joy Scouts Podcast on Sunday. This one's coming out late. It's going to be 10.05 p.m. starting now. And this one is a good one. It's really the most important thing you can learn in terms of skill development. It's what makes experts experts. It's what separates novices from experts. This topic is something that you need to understand if you want to develop any sort of expertise or knowledge in your field. You need to understand it wholly and completely, because if you do not, you will fail to master whatever it is you're doing. In fact, the point of practice is to develop these. What am I talking about? Mental representations. MRs, mental representation, they are the cornerstone of your skill development. When you're practicing, you're developing your mental representations. If you understand how to do it, and if you understand this novice-expert continuum, the ranges from how a novice sees a world to how an expert sees a world. We're going to discuss how mental representations are used in different fields, and I'm going to talk about how it's used in chess, and how the truth of this topic is how expertise is actually expands the human mind. How a chess master may be able to remember something, show memory feats that seem almost superhuman, but fails in a context that isn't chess-related. I'm going to show you how to develop mental representations, and then I want to discuss how to develop mental representations for better decision-making, and how you can use it for abstract skills as well as any physical skills you want to learn. So let's dive into this topic. It's very, very important. So what are mental representations? The main question that I get asked is, what exactly is a mental representation? Like, is this something that is happening online? Like, is this something that people are talking about? What is this? A mental representation is actually something that's in your brain. When you learn, you have a physical analog. Something actually does change in your brain when you're learning. And this might involve creating more connections or myelinization. And the learning process is going to be one that is a physical process as well. The physical changes that occur in your brain. So, a mental representation is the mental equivalent of that physical change in the brain. It is the new knowledge or the new skill that you have developed. So mental representation can be as simple as plucking a string on a guitar, or as simple as a statement of fact, like the sky is blue. Mental representations affect how we perceive the world. So once again, knowing the sky is blue, you wouldn't think to ask or think that the sky is anything but blue. But what you learn as you get older, or as you learn more about the topic, is that the sky itself is not blue. It is the light rays hitting the sky in a certain way. And it's the actual length of the light waves that causes it to look blue. Also, it could be a physical skill, and as simple as plucking a string. And it can be as complex as being able to play and compose in an orchestra, or as complex as being able to solve a really complex math equation. So, mental representations are in your brain. They can be the small chunk of knowledge, and they can also be the larger composite chunks of knowledge. But mental representations are the building blocks of learning. They are the one thing that separates the novice from the expert. If you are a novice, you're not even aware of what you don't know. In fact, you might think you know more than you already know. An expert is someone who has mental representations that are more in line with reality. They know when they make a mistake, so they can correct it immediately. This ability to correct one's mistakes is the basis of deliberate learning. Mental representations are important to be understood. It's important to understand how you develop them. It's important to understand what actually is happening in your brain. So, mental representations in your brain. Whenever we are learning, a process known as myelinization occurs. And when we practice our skill, this myelinization, which is the actual, think of it as a sheath on wire. What is on the outside of wire? It's a plastic rubber coating. Now, in your brain, when you have this wiring, this coating, the more of the coating you have, which is the myelin that wraps around the axon sheath in your brain, is going to allow the signals to stay within that wire rather than shoot off. The less thick this myelin sheath is, the more the signals are going to fire off haphazardly. So it's the difference between somebody who is well practiced and somebody who is hesitating or somebody who makes mistakes. It's the old adage. Excuse me. It's the old adage, perfect practice makes perfect. I will go into the next section, which is how mental representations are also nonverbal. So mental representations are not just verbal. They're not just statements of fact. They are nonverbal, and a lot of the time it's the reason why you can only learn from an expert. It's not something that you can read in a book, because this mental representation is something that is composed of many small things that cannot be said. And if they were to be said, would take up more volumes than you could ever read about. It's why an expert can't usually transmit their knowledge to a book. They might be able to show how they think through problems and their problem-solving process, but they can't teach you everything that they've learned. An expert can teach you how to learn and how to be able to get these mental representations so you can solve your own problems in the field. So, novice and expert continuum. So, the difference between a novice and an expert is their mental representations. That is the biggest difference, according to Anders Ericsson in his book Peak. So, why does this matter? Let's get into it. So one of the best ways to learn something new is to contrast two particular cases. What do I mean by this? So there is something known as the novice to expert continuum. You begin as a novice, and you can go all the way to the opposite end, which is a complete master or expert in their field. So because the main difference between a novice and an expert are their mental representations, we should dive into what this actually means. So, what does this mean? For a novice, you have a mental representation that does not consider the big picture. An expert will have big picture mental representations. They'll be more complex. They'll be composed of smaller mental representations. And this goes for physical skills as well. There'll be more finesse. There'll be more of the mechanics involved within it. the perception of novices and experts is different as well because of their mental representations. We filter the world through our mental representations, so therefore, the more accurate our representations of the world are, the more accurate our mental representations will be. So when we're learning, it's actually easier for the expert to learn compared to a novice in that field, because they'll have more knowledge to draw upon. Experts have a wider base of knowledge and a deeper base of knowledge as well. The reason this matters, and it is an obvious point, but the reason this matters is because experts, due to their large base of knowledge, have had time to notice patterns. They're able to infer conclusions. When you have the knowledge within you about a particular subject, you can make predictions, you can draw conclusions. You actually apply the knowledge in some way. When you're a novice, although you can read a lot about a subject or think you know a lot about a subject, you're not an expert until you've actually worked with the material, you've made these conclusions, and actually struggled with the information. Mental representations can be what you've learned from a book or learned from experience, but they also can be that which has been struggled with and worked with inside your own mind. Mental representations build upon each other to compose larger mental representations. So just by knowing more, immediately you're able to learn more without ever leaving your house, just by thinking about what you know and making those connections. And a connection between two mental representations is in and of itself a larger mental representation. So, experts can distill knowledge. Novices usually struggle to even ask the right questions. Experts are aware of the reality of the situation. Novices might actually think they know more than they do. When an expert asks questions, they ask very pointed and specific questions. They're trying to learn a specific thing about their passion, about their focus. But when a novice asks a question, they have large gaps of knowledge, and they're missing even the basic prerequisite to really understand what they're even asking. So you might hear a question that sounds hesitating, it sounds a little garbled. It's because they do not have the fundamental knowledge with which to ask the question. Experts have made the mistakes, novices have not. By making mistakes, you know which way to not go. You know that the obstacle prevents you from going past that particular point. Novices have not had these struggles yet. They don't know what the limits of their knowledge are. And so this circle of competence, as Warren Buffett calls it, this knowledge of your own knowledge is what separates an expert from a novice. And mental representations are different in both. I hope this has helped elucidate what the differences are. So let's get into the particulars of what mental representations actually are. How they can help you when you understand what they are. Experts in their field have greater memory and capacity to remember. But when thinking about things, trying to recall things that are not particularly focused, they have trouble. Why is this? Let's dive into the reasons why. So, when chess experts were tested about their knowledge of the positions of particular chess games, and then asked to recall what position the pieces were in. They're able to recall 99% of the time what positions these pieces were in. But when the pieces were just rearranged in a random order, they could not do so. This is a very particular way in which mental representations are developed. Experts are experts in their field. It doesn't give them a generalized ability to do things. So if you're developing your memory, if you're developing your chess skills, you're going to develop your chess memory. Experts develop skills within their own field. Most of these skills are not generalizable. Although some people think there might be generalizable ways of increasing your memory and increasing your general skills in other ways, most of the time these superhuman abilities, like a tennis player's ability to serve quicker than the human eye can detect, or anything like that, is due to expert training in one particular focus. In the book Bounce, former ping pong champion dives into the particular skills of his field. And in doing so, he asks, what are the main differences between experts and rookies? He wanted to know what made somebody an expert. How do they become that way? Are they more superior? What is the reason? And one of the tests, one of the researches done in that book, or described in that book, rather, is about tennis experts. And tennis experts and just random people off the street, it was a randomized study, were chosen. They wanted to see if the reflexes of the greatest players, some of these tennis players were champions of their time, were faster than the average person. And what they found astounded them. In an average test of reflex, they were not faster, and they were often slower than the average person. It was a strange display to see somebody who could serve a 90 mile per hour fast tennis serve not be able to accomplish a simple reflexive task. So this goes into what mental representations are. They are a specific focused skill you develop. This is why mental representations are the basis of deliberate practice. This is what deliberate practice even is. You're deliberately practicing a specific thing you're trying to improve at. It's incremental gains that are able to make a huge fortress, like the bricks that you lay down. Each brick is laid down with precision, with a reason in mind. So if you want to get better at something, you have to focus on what that thing is. You might think, oh man, I want to become the greatest athlete of all time. And what would that mean? Because do you want to be fast? Okay, well, if you want to be fast, you're probably going to have to sacrifice endurance. Oh, you want to run a long time as well. Okay. And people might look at someone who's an ultra marathoner and claim that, oh, well, if these people are able to do all these crazy superhuman things, then you can have a general ability to do these things. And it may be true to some extent that you can develop generalizable abilities. But if someone's trying to get better at running long distances, they're going to sacrifice their ability to swim, just to follow that ultramarathon example. If they're trying to get better at biking, they're going to be sacrificing their ability to run longer speeds. It's about strategy as much as it is about their ability. So, what you want to do is understand with end in mind what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Because otherwise, you're not going to get there. I'm sorry, it's just as simple as that. You have to know what is at the end of the map. And it's not as bad as all that. A lot of people have come before you. A lot of people have tried and failed, or tried and accomplished things. And you want to follow those successful ones. They have laid the map down. Follow that path. Otherwise, you're not going to be developing these mental representations in the way that is going to be good for your success. Remember the old adage, perfect practice makes perfect. So, yes, it is really important to get somebody that knows more than you, an expert. And this isn't always possible, so what can you do? Often experts have done write-ups, and they can, or books even, and this can give you a glimpse about what you need to know. And yeah, you won't know what you don't know, but it's a good start. At least getting a solid knowledge base underneath you so that you can apply this knowledge when trying to learn more. Because you won't know what you're doing incorrectly if you don't have any knowledge to start with. Some people think that diving in is the best way, but I urge you not to do that. So, you understand what mental representations are by now. You understand what makes them important between a novice and an expert. And now you understand how mental representations are specifically represented in that field. So, what you want to understand next then is, how can you apply this in your own life? What is the practical thing that I can do? And maybe the section should have been first. Whatever, I'm glad that you listened to the end. Let's find out together. So Jonathan, you say, I'm interested in this mental representation thing. How can I apply it to my own life? Well, it's very simple. It doesn't mean it's not difficult, but it is simple. So let's go back to the old chess example, and it's a really good one because chess is very clear what the difference is between a good chess player and a great chess player is. They noted that there was one big difference between chess players that separated the good chess players and the terrible chess players from the great grandmasters. And that was their times practicing, but not practicing just by playing chess, but in a very particular way. They were practicing by looking at old games of masters and studying these old games. The way they were studying them was by looking at the positions that the chess masters had chosen. And before they looked ahead to see what the chess master would do, they would think of all the possible combinations of what they might do or should do. And then they would see what the chess master did. If it was separate, if it was different from what they would have done, they would stop to think. They would ask themselves questions about this. Why did they do it differently? Why was the way I chose not as good, or even better, because that is possible as well. And they began to develop a deep knowledge, a deep context of these great games by these great chess masters. So, this type of practice describes perfectly what it is like to develop mental representations. Because the best way to develop mental representations is by studying the experts. It's by seeing what is correct in that field. And by studying these experts, you can have a generalized understanding of what is considered correct most of the time. This isn't to say that revolutions don't occur in a field. Someone like Andy Warhol, who came in to say, you know, pop the Campbell's soup can is art. That's changed what was right in that world. That's not to say that style is not important or something like that is not important. No. But Andy Warhol himself did study the old masters, I guarantee you that. And what this means is that he saw what was generally accepted as right and what was generally accepted as wrong. And you can use this knowledge to develop your own mental representations, or if you really think that you should go on your own path, you really think you know better, here's the way you can do it. So let's take the example of a general trying to become better at understanding strategy, how to make better decisions in the battlefield. What the general would do is read about old war battles, ancient battles, battles in each field. And drawing upon his base of knowledge, he might ask, okay, so I understand that this field, this type of warfare was different from the type of warfare I'm in. And, you know, he could go into all the logistics, he could go into all the minutiae and details of how they got there, how did they get the logistical problems. And knowing these things might be helpful. But the main thing that I would argue he should focus on is what decision did they make and why did they make it. So you can go off of historical reasons. You know, they only had enough strategy, they only had enough food for a certain amount of days. But before they look ahead to see what the decision the general made in that particular moment, they can ask themselves what they would have done in that moment. And this draws upon all the knowledge that they have. Because ultimately, mental representations are about making decisions, about taking action. So before you make that next decision, you draw upon the knowledge that you have. I would have done this. You have all your reasons why. You make that decision. You decide that's what I would have done. And you think ahead. And then you get feedback. You check on what they would have done, what the old masters have done. And you see that they did something else. Or you see that they did what you said that they should have done. And that was the right thing. Or no, that was the wrong thing. At the end of the day, they got the feedback that showed them that they were incorrect. And in battle, this often means death or surrender. So, mental representations are essentially just a microcosm of the whole idea of deliberate practice. They are the essential building block, but the way we develop them is through this deliberate practice. But we need mental representations to get better at this deliberate practice itself. It's a two-way street. We use mental representations to see the world, to filter the world around us. And then the better our mental representations are, the better connections we can make, and the more knowledge and more patterns and more inferences we can make. We need to study the old masters to get a sense of what is right and wrong within a field. And feedback is all important in this process, just as it is in deliberate practice, because while the world can give us feedback if we're doing something in the real world, if we're playing football, yeah, you fumble the ball, that's wrong, don't do that. But a lot of the time it's impossible to get feedback. However, if you do have these bases of knowledge, historical knowledge, and of seeing what people can do and what they have done, often it is just as good to see. So I hope you enjoyed this, and happy learning, happy reading. Hope you learn as much as you can. Bye.